Snack Bar Games Podcast. And welcome to Snack Bar Games Podcast, episode 213. I'm Graham, and I'm here with Andrew, Sean, and Jerry. And Sean, I will start off with some news. What is going on?
All right. Well, the thing that probably matters the most to us is the UMD trading program for Vita, where if you own a UMD version of a game, you can pay a small fee, which they say will be around $10 or less, to be able to get a digital version to download onto your Vita.
Right. So it's called the UMD Passport Program. As far as I understand it, it hasn't been announced for the U.S., right? It's just Japan right now, right?
Just Japan right now, but I don't see any reason why they wouldn't do it in other regions also.
Yeah, Jerry, you're our big PSP guy. What are your thoughts?
It's like Sean says. I mean, there's actually less PSP games to port over for the U.S. than there are in Japan, so.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen the PSP have a little more support in Japan, so I'm a little hesitant about the whole thing. I am happy to see them do something. I have some indie games, you know, I wouldn't mind playing on the new system.
I honestly thought Sony would just kind of just say, UMD is one of those. Buy the Vita.
And I personally wouldn't mind. Like, I'm actually surprised that they've gone so far as to do this thing for UMD transferals, because as far as I'm concerned, they could just forget the UMD ever existed and just bury them next to ET.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. The big question on everyone's mind, though, is can you also transfer your UMD movies? That's what everyone wants to know, I think.
UMD movies. I am surprised that they're doing this because they didn't do anything like this for the PSP Go. I was always looking at the PSP Go as like, this is obviously them trying out some of the stuff they're going to do in the new system. Nintendo always does that, and it seemed like Sony was doing the same thing. You know, like, Nintendo put out, you know, the Game Boy Advance SP that had a lot of the same features that the DS would have, and the DSi was kind of a half step up to the 3DS with the downloadable content and the SD cards and things like that.
Honestly, the PSP Go was kind of just weird. Like, you would think with that they would try to at the very least appeal to a new market that hadn't already bought the PSP. I mean, that's what I originally thought, because there's no UMD, so people who already own a PSP wouldn't want to really bother upgrading to it, but
right.
Even then it seemed like people just didn't care. So I think that was just a weird thing.
At least with the Go, the main problem was that if they actually were to release the Go now as opposed to like when they did, It would probably have fared a lot better, because right now PSN actually has a lot of PSP games on their backlog, as opposed to when the Go launched, where there were like what 5-10 games out of the entire list of UMD games.
Yeah, it was a pretty small list.
Yeah, no, that's true. I wonder if as they transition to the Vita being out. And, you know, there will probably still be a handful of PSP games coming out, or at least there will be, you know, cheap budget re-releases of games and things like that. I wonder if they're going to do like they've done recently with DVD and Blu-ray releases, adding like a digital copy in with your game. Because I think that would be an interesting way to do it.
That would make sense to me.
I think if they would have done it, they would have probably started that maybe September, October of this year. Play it now, play it later on the Vita.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see. We'll see what happens when the Vita launches, but no.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, Sean, what else is going on?
All right, we also have the disaster that is the Call of Duty Elite launch, where it's pretty much unusable from the minute you sign up for it.
You're going to have to elaborate on that, because I actually haven't heard about that at all.
The Elite system, or the servers, have been completely overwhelmed by the number of people who are trying to sign up for it and use it. And so the servers go down constantly and are completely unreliable. They're worse, from what I hear, than the Battlefield 3 online multiplayer servers were at launch.
So you think this launch was more or less successful than Final Fantasy 14?
I would say more, from the simple fact that the reason it is so unreliable is because the vast number of people trying to use it.
Oh, poor Final Fantasy 14.
I never thought that would be mentioned again, but...
It has a lot of the same issues.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
I'd actually compare it to the PC launch for Assassin's Creed, was it? Where no one could play because the Ubisoft server for bunched that launch.
Like every Ubisoft game.
Was that Assassin's Creed 1 or 2? I don't remember.
I think that was 2.
Was that 2? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, honestly, you guys couldn't see it, but I was just, every time I hear about that, I was facepalming. Like, it's the next Call of Duty game, Activision. People are gonna wanna try this newfangled Call of Duty Elite service. I just don't get it. I just don't get it. How could they not be prepared for this? I mean, I know it sold more than last year's game, but still, are they surprised by this? I don't know. I don't know what they expected.
Apparently they were, because I don't know what they're expecting when they give a free copy of it for a few months in with Modern Warfare 3.
Oh yeah, and then they have the Hard Edition, which is $100, which you get a full year of the service.
Now you get 13 months, right, Sean?
Something like that, I guess.
Yeah, they have comped everyone a free month because it's not working.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
Maybe.
Well, they didn't just say, oh, well, that's not our problem. Too bad. Sorry. But I guess that's good. That's good, at least.
Yeah, any more news, Sean?
The last thing is a minor footnote that Steam got hacked. And so.
Yeah, the Steam forums got hacked. I think that's important.
The forums got hacked. They also said that people, they believe they also got some of the user data, although they don't know what good any of it would be because everything was encrypted, unlike Sony.
Yeah, I mean, the way they were writing, they didn't think any, you know, credit card information was taken or anything like that.
They basically said that you just change your password just in case, and that's about it.
Yeah, I mean, it's just kind of like, we are 99.9% sure that you're safe, but we can't say that.
Pretty much.
Yeah. Any more news, Sean?
That is it.
All right, so let's just talk about what we've been playing. Andrew, we'll start with you and Modern Warfare 3.
Yes, the new indie release from Activision called Modern Warfare 3.
Yeah.
Honestly, this is going to be probably a short segment because I don't have much to say about it besides that it's good. I mean, okay, the campaign is more Call of Duty, and I think it's a huge improvement over Modern Warfare 2, which is great, because Modern Warfare 2's campaign was kind of all over the place. It had some really great moments, but a lot of the time they just kind of kept trying to exceed themselves from the first game, and it just got ridiculous. Modern Warfare 3 has some of that, but most of it feels a lot like the original did, which is kind of toned down, but I mean, you're still effectively fighting World War 3. But it's still really toned down compared to the last game, and I think it's better for it. And it has a really nice conclusion. The story isn't as ridiculous. You actually understand what's going on usually, and it comes together in a way that I never expected it to. And I mean, I did in terms of the story, but just like I expected them to just be like, the world is gonna blow up this time, not just you know, entire cities. They're just gonna blow up the planet, and that's gonna be it. We're gonna be fighting in space. I don't know, something like that. I'm surprised they didn't just take it even crazier, but, you know.
Works for Battlefield.
Battlefield is just, speaking of Battlefield, Followers returned in Modern Warfare 3, so that's good. Except I actually know the character's name is Captain Price a lot of the times.
Follow Price.
Yeah, exactly. That's his middle name. They never told you that in the story, but. Yeah, honestly, it's always been like that in the Call of Duty games, but ever since Battlefield, I kind of notice it a lot more in Modern Warfare 3. So I kind of chuckle to myself about it every time I see Follow.
Yeah.
Welcome back, buddy. You've taken the new form. Let's see. Spec Ops is still my favorite part of Modern Warfare. It's basically just, you know, you and a friend team up to do these different missions, and a lot of the times you can just do it by yourself if you want, but it really benefits from having a second person. But they should have four-player co-op. The fact that it's limited to just two people is really, really dumb. I mean, it makes no sense. And it was something they said themselves they wanted to get to work in this game, and it just never happened. Especially now that they have this survival mode, which is essentially like, you know, Gears of War Horde mode. You just fight a bunch of enemies, and you survive as long as possible. But and it's good, but it's only two players, so it just... It doesn't feel as strong as it did the last time when it was brand new.
Yeah.
Maybe by Modern Warfare 5 they'll implement it.
Well, that's the thing. I don't see us ever getting another Modern Warfare game. We're going to get more Call of Duty games, but I mean, it would be crazy to have Modern Warfare 4 just because of the way the story wrapped up.
So Modern Warfare is done.
I think Modern Warfare is done.
So we can move on to Postmodern Warfare.
Yeah, exactly. There you go. Future Warfare. But no, I'm guessing next year we'll get Black Ops 2 because that game was hugely successful, and the year after that it's just kind of a big question mark. But multiplayer is the same. It's exactly the same. They made a few really nice changes that I could get into, but it'll go over probably all of your guys' heads. But it's in my review, which will go up sometime this week. But the changes are nice, but the entire game feels like Modern Warfare 2.5, which is probably the worst thing I could say about it. It's not as much of a leap from the first game to the second game.
And so would you say that that the multiplayer, at least for Modern Warfare 3, you could compare it to, say, a yearly revision for a sports game, where it's
a few
new bells and whistles, but ultimately it's really the same game?
Exactly. That's pretty much exactly it. Because Modern Warfare 2's multiplayer was at its core the same, but it added enough new things that it felt really fresh. Black Ops kind of expanded upon that and changed the setting. But Modern Warfare 3, if you played Modern Warfare 2 multiplayer, you played Modern Warfare 3 multiplayer. And they have a couple of new modes that aren't really that memorable. And the maps are okay, but I mean, it's still the same. And I mean, people who like that are gonna really like this. Me saying this isn't going to convince you one way or the other, whether or not you want to get it. You knew going into it if you wanted more Call of Duty or not. But I'm just a little disappointed, and I'm thinking maybe it has something to do, like the lack of huge changes in the multiplayer has something to do with the whole Infinity Ward thing from last year. Because it wasn't even just them developing, it was also this company, Sledgehammer Games, they're brand new, made specifically to work on Call of Duty, although the rumor was they're working on some kind of third-person Call of Duty game, but I don't know if that's ever going to happen. So they kind of came on to help Infinity Ward finish this up, and I wonder if that has a lot to do with it. It's just speculation on my part, though.
Maybe you say that you don't expect Modern Warfare 4, but coming from Activision, which, you know, is kind of famous for burning franchises into the ground, I think you shouldn't put it past them.
That's the thing. I think the Call of Duty name alone is enough. I don't think they need Modern Warfare anymore. And I think that without going into spoilers, just for the story alone, there's pretty much no way they can continue that story because it's over. It's just done. There's nothing they can do with it.
Hey, they could always do Modern Warfare's American Skateland, so.
But there's a business reason for why they do it. It's because if they do a Call of Duty every year and they get up to like 7 or 8, people are gonna be like, hey, wait a minute. But it's like, no, Black Ops, cause people come into my store all the time, they're like, no, Black Ops was one series and Call of Duty is another series and then Modern Warfare is another series. And I'm like, this makes it okay for you to buy the game every year? And it does. Man. They're fine with it. And I buy Final Fantasy games, so I'm not any better.
You're not any better.
No, I'm not. I'm not at all. I can't wait for 13 too. It looks rad.
Honestly, it's not that, I mean, in the grand scheme of things, the lack of changes in the multiplayer isn't that big of a deal. Cause, you know what, the game still sold even better than last year's, which sold even better than the year before. And until people get sick of it, until Activision starts releasing 2 Call of Duty games a year or more, then we're gonna start seeing the market kinda slow. But the fact that this game came out, sold incredibly well, and then the 2 weeks ago, Battlefield 3 came out, sold incredibly well, shows that people are still interested in these games. So Activision is going to do whatever it takes to continue to make money off of it as long as it lasts. But in terms of Modern Warfare specifically, I just it would make sense for them to have Infinity Ward work on, or Sledgehammer Games work on something new. And it won't matter if it's Modern Warfare or not, because it's Call of Duty and it's still going to sell. I think that's the point I was trying to make. Okay, so I want to talk about Kirby.
Jerry. Okay.
Let's talk about Kirby.
But what if I don't want to talk about Kirby?
You're going to talk about Kirby. We're going to talk about
Kirby. Yeah. Fine.
Isn't Kirby amazing?
Kirby is amazing.
It's weird that I didn't have high hopes for it because, I mean, I really love Kirby, but my expectations were kind of low because it just seemed like Epic Yarn was such a departure, which is kind of both a good and bad thing, depending on who you ask, but it felt really fresh to me, and just returning to that old formula seemed like a good idea, but I kind of was just like on the fence about it, even with the addition of co-op. So isn't it just awesome that they really managed to make it into something special?
Mm-hmm. Like the one thing I didn't really like from initial impressions for the game was mm-hmm. that it's continuing like Nintendo's new family friendly look for their games, where everything's really clean and just vibrant and
that's
I don't
new?
Know.
Yeah, I was gonna say, isn't that kind of been Kirby?
I know, but
it's been Nintendo, I would say, for quite some time. Yeah.
No. I mean the style they've gone from since their new Super Mario Brothers, where everything's incredibly.
I don't like it. I really don't like it. It puts me off in a big way. It's the only reason I'm not excited for Mario 3D Land, which came out today. Yeah, I've not liked Nintendo's aesthetic for a while now. I think that the only thing that's done it differently is Skyward Sword, which is. Got me interested in the way it looks, but like I don't like that I don't like how Mario looks. It's weird feeling that way because Nintendo has always been, they've always known how to do the most with the less, where they always had the least powerful system but had the coolest looking stuff on it, and that's not been true for a long time, and it bothers me. It really upsets me.
Yeah, I mean, I never liked the new Super Mario Brothers or the Wii version's looks, and I kind of went halfway with Returns, but I really like how it looks with Return to Dreamland.
I've always wanted a full Mario game that looks just the way he looks like in Smash Brothers Melee. Could you imagine that? Like he's got like the actual denim pants and like his face looks like a person's face. Like it's cartoony, but it looks like a person's face. Mm-hmm. Like I want that.
Maybe for the Wii U.
No.
Yeah. No.
It's not gonna happen.
I don't know. I get what you're saying, but I don't know. I don't. It's something that really isn't that bothersome. To me, anyway, because...
Yeah, I mean, it's just a minor nitpick of mine. But
yeah, I think for Kirby, it makes sense. Kirby's looked that way since Super Nintendo, since before the N60, or since, at the very least, the N64 game.
Well, yeah. Dream Land 3 was very much like this, I think. I think that was the first time where it really started looking, I'm going to say, cartoony. Dream Land 3 and the Super Nintendo.
Okay.
Which I really think is... It's kind of like the last real Kirby game. I mean, the Kirby 64 was a real Kirby game, but there were a lot of elements of that that were a little strange.
It was very
strange.
Different. That was like the first game that made Kirby slow, and then he was slow from then on. Except, well, the Game Boy ones are kind of slow, but the Super Nintendo ones are pretty fast games. At least the couple I've played. I haven't played all of them. But I remember like someone like having me sit down and play one of the games Super Nintendo, and I was amazed at how quick he moved. Like when you got the power-ups, he would fucking zip by. But then I played the first Dreamlands on the Game Boy on the Virtual Console when it came out, and that game was surprisingly slow and easy. I remember where I was going with this, but the N64 one was just really slow, and that's why I didn't like that one. And also had the same clean look. Well, I liked it fine, but it's
so
like Kirby's like it's like Nintendo saw him as their kiddie character, but kind of all their characters are pretty kiddie, so he was even more. They even made him even more super kiddie than the rest of their characters.
That's the thing, though. I mean, did they really? I mean, looking back at the history of Kirby, I don't think he's changed all that much. I mean, if anything, the only thing that's really changed is the fact that Nintendo likes to use the Kirby series as like a way to experiment. Like you saw it with Canvas Curse on the DS, Kirby's Epic Yarn, you know, Mass Attack, which I haven't played, but I heard good things about.
Have you played Canvas Curse?
Oh, Canvas Curse is great.
It's awesome. That's a great game. But I haven't inspected the cover for the new one yet. Is he mean on the new cover?
I've never heard of a game called Kirby's Canvas Curse.
Oh, it was a...
What?
You even heard of it? It was a was it a launch game?
Get off this podcast. Get off this podcast.
Was it really close to the launch, or was it an actual launch game?
I've heard of Canvas Cruise, but not Canvas Curse.
What? No, that's not what it's called. It's Canvas Curse.
It's Canvas Curse, isn't it? Yeah.
It's Canvas Curse. He doesn't go on a boat trip and then get turned into a little dot. He gets cursed and turned into a paintbrush.
First I hear of it.
That's definitely, it is Canvas Curse.
You're just sticking by your guns. You're like, no, guys, it's called Canvas Cruise.
Is this a Puerto Rican exclusive Canvas Cruise?
Yeah, you got the Caribbean localization. and instead of making Kirby mean down there, he's got a joint in his mouth and he's got bloodshot eyes instead of mean eyes.
But yeah, carry on.
Oh man.
Actually, if Kirby was just really high, those games would make a lot more sense. He's always hungry. He's always seeing bright colors and regular objects come to life.
Kirby's just naturally high. He's just high on life.
Yeah. And diabetes.
So oh god.
That's the last Kirby game. When Nintendo goes through their Marvel and Image thing where they want to compete with the other consoles and get all dark and grim, Kirby gets diabetes and loses a foot.
I was thinking more along the lines of Kirby's Whore House, but I guess I think that might be too
dark. Yeah, is that too? Mario's just a plumber. They're like,
back to
Mario, though. Just a plumber, man.
Yes, return
to about Kirby.
I have a question about Return to Dreamland. I've played a little pieces of it, but I haven't gotten through the actual game yet. I noticed there are a lot of points, at least in what I've played, when player one Kirby gets ridiculously overpowered thing, and then there's like 30 seconds where basically it doesn't matter that there's anyone else on the screen. Does that come up a lot in the full game?
Depends on. It really depends on it. If you're playing like one Kirby and everyone else is being a unique character, or if it's like four Kirbys and like, yeah, but basically the character that's being Kirby gets just to be the star of the show for that moment.
He gets to be the superstar?
Yep.
Okay. I don't know. Anyway,
hey guys,
what?
Guys, speaking of Kirby, I'm eating a gobbler. East Coast listeners, what up?
Okay.
That
thing that you asked does come up quite a bit.
I was gonna say I haven't played the co-op, but it seems like the other three players are just kind of there, they're not even really playing so much as they're just kind of they happen to be there, so they're just gonna hold a controller and press a few buttons while player one does everything kind of thing.
Well, they do have to survive in some cases, like.
Oh yeah, I know that, but
like
I mean,
whenever Kirby, the Kirby that gets the, say, snowball power is up, then, you know, everyone has to watch out for their lives.
Yeah, but when the other players die, you don't lose lives, do you?
Yeah, you do.
Oh, you do?
Like if
player two dies, I thought you could just come back. I didn't think life mattered.
You come back, but you use up a life. Like if players 2, 3, and 4 die, they die.
Hmm.
Like the only thing that does count is that if player one dies, then
you have to start all over.
Everyone resets back to the last door. But if the others die, then you know you use up a life.
Hmm. Hmm. I guess I didn't know that. Well, look, that's interesting. But I don't know. The co-op is neat, but it always seemed kind of tacked on. I mean, with New Super Mario Bros. Wii, playing that game with three other people and playing that game solo is almost like an entirely different experience. And with Kirby, it seems kind of like the same experience. There's just others sitting around with you.
Okay.
I guess I'm not really surprised considering it's Kirby, but still.
Hey, Kirby's had four-player co-op for a while.
Yeah, I know. But I mean,
my favorite was The Amazing Mirror. Did you ever get a chance to play that one on the GBA?
I do like that game.
Have you ever gotten to play it co-op, though?
No. The only Kirby game I've played co-op is Superstar.
Gotcha. But, yeah, you can play with four on that one, and that was a lot of fun back in the day. But I guess I was kind of hoping that a Return to Dreamland would be a lot like that, but it seems like it's very much a single-player game that just happened. You can have other people to play rather than an actual...
Unless you're playing... Return to Dreamland and in the extra mode, which basically buffs up the difficulty for the whole game. Playing multiplayer does kind of trivialize the regular mode, since you can tell that the life bars and everything don't change between single player and multiplayer, and enemies that would otherwise be a challenge in single player are just, you know, completely complete pushovers in multiplayer.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Okay, so Jerry, what else have you been playing lately?
Fate
Extra.
Lots and lots of RPGs.
I was gonna say, how is Fate Extra?
It's good. It's a nice little offbeat RPG when compared to like your typical Final Fantasy or other turn-based. You know how things nowadays are either have to be turn-based or have to be like an action RPG.
Mm-hmm.
You know, here's the conversation I want to have about Fate Extra.
Okay.
How did this game get localized?
I have no idea.
Axis is rad, and they do stuff like that.
Like,
I totally get that, but if you just look at here is the list of unlocalized games. Even here's the list of PSP JRPGs that haven't been localized. Yeah. How is that? That's not near the top of that list.
I know.
I'm happy to have it, but it's just what?
And when you consider that Axis is even bringing over I don't remember if it's in this month or next month, they're bringing over a Japanese visual novel for women, basically.
Yep.
For the PSP.
Yeah.
Huh.
It's probably just
this.
One of those, it's probably
I've gotten
one of those
multiple
deals.
Promotional emails.
Yeah, it's probably just one of those deals where it was already localized in Europe or something and it just had to, and it was already in English.
Not localized in Europe. They're localizing it on their own for the US.
And I don't know.
Huh.
It's because Axis is fucking weird. Do you follow the Twitter?
I would go so far as to say that they challenge XSEED for the title of bravest publisher in the U.S.
They have a dartboard that has just a bunch of random unlocalized games, and they just throw darts at it every day and see what their next project is.
It's one of those cases where whoever is in charge of that just likes certain games. It's like, let's do this. Like, someone has that kind of power where they just find a game you like, since they just make this now.
Though, it does surprise me, though, because going by sales numbers, Fate Extra has already sold in its first weeks more than it sold in Japan in its first weeks.
What?
Yeah, I heard that. Which is crazy.
How?
Yeah, that's nuts.
Yeah, I have no idea, but it's a thing that happened.
Is it that there's this fan base of, Fate fans or something that's, sitting around, that just automatically buys it? Is that what's happening here?
Not in the U.S.
Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe people were just it's just another JRPG from a small publisher. Let's just.
Or
buy
it could have just been really cheap, that
wasn't
game.
Wasn't only $20.
Oh, yeah.
I mean to get the rights must have been super cheap.
Oh. Oh yeah.
Or they bought some company that had already translated the game or something. There are a lot of things that could go in there.
No. They have their own editors, and I actually talked to a couple of them on Twitter. And they were doing the whole translation. There was no pre-existing translation for them to just buy out and put in the game.
Hmm.
This is crazy.
But how the game sold so well over here compared to Japan, I have no idea. it's already a niche title in Japan. It's even more niche in the U.S., so I have no explanation.
A mystery to solve someday. So, has anyone else been playing anything that isn't Skyrim?
Oh.
Or should we just move on to Skyrim?
Oh, wait. I'm
playing Snoopy Tennis.
Oh, tell me about Snoopy Tennis.
I thought you were kidding.
I want to know more about it.
No, I totally have been playing Snoopy Tennis. Awesome. You know, as you guys know, I very regularly hunt for old games for as cheap as I can find them. And so I found Snoopy Tennis, which was a Game Boy Color tennis game. And it's kind of like Mario Tennis, but it's more
Color Mario Tennis, one that's an RPG.
It's what I was gonna say is it's kind of like the console Mario Tennis.
Okay.
It doesn't have the RPG elements, but it does have the stats and the weird characters, and you can play as Snoopy and Charlie Brown and Linus.
It doesn't have RPG elements, but it has Snoopy, and I think that's more important.
Mm-hmm.
That's my take on it.
Yeah, but
I think we should go back to our best to play now list for the Game Boy and add that game.
Does it have any, like, peanut-y music?
Here's the thing. Yeah, it does have... It does have...
It does?
Yeah.
I'm looking up right now. We're going to cut it in the episode.
it's not great.
Oh, really?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's a Game Boy Color.
The
arrangement's not wonderful. But, yeah, so it doesn't hold up great, but I don't know. I wanted to play my Game Boy Color, so I've been playing it. It's the anti-Skyrim. It really is.
So, you're saying they should have re-released Snoopy Tennis on 11-11-11.
That would have been awesome. Virtual console.
Yeah, exactly.
Make it happen.
I didn't make it happen. It would have sold as much as Skyrim. I'm betting not.
Anything would have sold on that day. Except Uncharted for some reason. I don't know why they pushed it up. They just really didn't want to compete with Skyrim, which is smart.
Well, I mean, I think it was really smart for them to move it up because they didn't have to compete with that much last week, but this week they would have had some issues.
I've been playing some games, you guys.
Really?
I don't know if you were following my Twitter the day that my Mac died, but my Mac was...
Mac died.
The Mac that has served me very well over the last few years shut off and did not turn back on again. And, I think you're laughing at me. So I ran out to Best Buy, and I picked up, like, it was literally the first laptop I saw. Like, I was walking in, it was on sale, and I was like, how?
That was good. That's a laptop.
Yeah, I was like, is this one good? And the guy was like, yeah, and I bought it. And it was like $260, and it was on sale from, like, I've seen it between $400 and $600. And the graphics card looks okay. And it was a PC. So I grabbed it and it worked fine. And I've been doing this thing over the last couple of years where, even though I haven't had a PC, I have still bought the hell out of Steam sales. like just hoping one day I'd get a PC where I could play this game. So now I just Yeah. Now I've just been staring at my PC, my Steam list, and I've been like, what should I install next? And I installed like Portal 2 and both Left 4 Deads and Gemini Rue and Super Meat Boy and all this crap. But I barely played any of it. I played Portal 2 to see how it ran, and it runs beautifully on this thing. On my super cheap laptop, it looked awesome. I ran Left 4 Dead because my friend bought it for me, so I had to play it. And I liked it a lot. And
as an excuse to talk more about Portal 2, but I think we'll have to wait until the Game of the Year stuff.
We will have to wait for the Game of the Year stuff.
And I played some Minecraft, which... It looks great on my computer. Minecraft looks awesome. Other than that, I've been playing some Fallout New Vegas. I was playing it when I couldn't have Skyrim.
I want to make an observation that Gemini Rue is a cool game, and I hope you play more of it.
Yeah. Oh, I was trumpeting that game from the second it was announced to have like an actual release. I even bought the disc version. I didn't own a PC, I wanted to own a physical version. I do own it. And then a couple weeks ago, they announced it was coming to Steam. And anyone who bought a copy of it would get a free copy of it on Steam, and I did. I emailed the guy, and I was like, hey, can I have my free copy? And he sent me one. He sent me a Steam code. So now I have it on there, but I've still got my disc version around here somewhere, and that's the thing. Like, I wanted to own it. I was like, no, this is a piece of history. This is a guy who made a game, for a school project, and it got released, and it was an awesome game. Like, it's really cool. Yeah, and like, I think I mentioned on this podcast before that, 2D point-and-click adventures are my favorite kind of video game. And to see someone so lovingly recreate those, to the extent that if it had come out and someone had been like, hey, this is a LucasArts game that never came out, I would totally believe them. Like, it looks that way, and it even sounds that way. Like, not so much LucasArts. Who made Beneath a Steel Sky? Because, that's the thing. If they had said, yeah, after the guys made Beneath a Steel Sky, they made this game, ran out of funding, I would be like, awesome, can I play it? And I would play it and believe them, because it is just like that. Even with the voice acting and everything. It's a really good game, everyone should buy it.
That was Virgin Interactive.
Yes, it was. That's also an amazing game. If you can find, I think that game's free now. I think they actually put it out themselves for free. Beneath the Steel Sky, it's also a good old game.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I think it's one of the free games you get if you make a GOG account.
Yeah.
So that means I have it and I just never played it. Oh man.
Probably. That game's really good.
I need to play it.
As far as point and click adventure, it's really good. And it's funny because it's like more of a super serious, like it's It's very Hitchhiker's Guide in its humor, like where it's this like super serious events in this, you know, very dirty, crappy place, but it's got a very Douglas Adams, LucasArts sense of humor to it, and it's even got a cocky little robot who's a dick.
So I just learned that I have a reason to stop playing Skyrim. Okay.
It's not, right. And it's also, it's Point of Adventure, which means it's not a long game. You could probably, you know, break that out in a little while, like a day or
that's
two.
That's fine.
Alright, well, before you run off to play Beneath the Still Sky or Gemini Rue, let's talk about Skyrim.
Alright.
Wow.
I've been playing Skyrim.
Dragons.
Wow, I love this game.
I killed a dragon, y'all.
I killed a spider, y'all.
Has anyone not killed a dragon?
I have not.
Oh.
Well, technically Jerry hasn't, because I don't think he's played it.
I have not. Well, I've killed dragons in other games, and that counts.
Have you killed dragons in real life?
I wish.
And I'm are dragons on the cruise?
Can you ride a dragon in this game?
No.
They
just want to kill you, that's all. They don't want
to. Because the horse physics are so broken and crazy that I want to see a dragon physics. I want to see how a dragon handles.
No, that's what mods are for.
I rode my horse down a waterfall. And I rode him. I rode him up a mountain, like a 90-degree mountain. He just walked straight up.
Just know that that has to be the title of this episode. I rode my horse down a waterfall.
I totally did.
The Skyrim experience.
I stayed before I started doing it. I was like, this isn't gonna work. And I just ran down the waterfall on a horse. And he swims too. Your horse can swim. There's no way you can't go on a horse.
That's the great thing, though. It's Bethesda games. Just save whatever you want. So you're like, man, this is what I'm gonna do right now is gonna be really stupid. So let me save.
Yeah, save and then you put a bucket over a guy's head and steal everything he has. Yeah,
exactly. Try that. It works.
I can't believe it works. I was almost mad when it worked. I was like, that just makes it super easy. Now I'm just gonna do that all the time.
Just carry a bucket around you with you everywhere, just in case.
Yeah, because I'm totally a thief in this game. Like everyone loves me and I'm super revered and everyone's like, hey, it's this guy, you saved us from that dragon, what's up? And then I'm like, yeah, listen, I'm gonna retire early tonight, guys. I'll see y'all later, go hang out at the inn, I'm just gonna go to bed. And then everybody goes to the inn and I just steal the shit out of everything. I just go into every single house and the next day I go to the inn and the guy, like I, because of the Radiant Quest system, I want him to be like, man, that's so weird, all of this stuff got stolen from my place. I'm so glad you brought the stuff in, like on the day after it all got stolen. Because nothing has serial numbers in the old medieval times.
I mean, I guess I'm kind of the opposite. I try to be a good guy. I really do. I really try to be a good guy. But, like, it seems, in Skyrim, and I guess in Bethesda games in general, they present you with so many opportunities to be, like, a horrible person.
Yeah.
They don't seem to present you with that many opportunities to be like, oh, save this guy. But like every turn, like you can steal this sword from this dude. I don't want.
I punched a chicken. I didn't even kill it. I hit a chicken, and the entire town tried to murder me. It did. They killed me. They
love their chickens.
They murdered me for attacking a chicken, and it was like I went back to this town. I did this before I left the town to go do a quest that was given to me by a guy in the town. I was just screwing around. I just hit the chicken, and it said my bounty went up 50 points. And I was like, I wonder what that means. Oh well, and I just walked out of the town. And then later on I came back after I did the quest, and the guy who gave me and I was just running to the guy's house. I was like, because everybody's chasing me. And the guy's like, hey, what's up, man? Oh, you found my thing. That's awesome. And like, I gave him the thing, and he was just like chatting with me and having the longest conversation in the world, because as he's talking to me, four guys with swords are just wailing on me and just hitting me. I'm like, could we speed this up a little bit? Just give me the gold. Just give me the gold. I gotta go. I gotta get out of here. And I didn't kill anyone. I was like, sorry. And I just ran away.
Oh man.
That kind of crap happens in that game. And it doesn't even break the realism for me at all. Like, I'm still totally invested in this world where I'm playing scared. Like, I don't know what I just did. What's happening? Could someone talk to me about this, please? Use your words.
Yeah, I was walking around in, like, the woods, and I saw this guy who, like, had his hands tied together. He's, like, a prisoner. And no one else, I looked around, I didn't see anyone else. And it just, like, I tried to talk to him, and he said, would you like to free the prisoner? It's like, yeah, I'd like to free the prisoner. And as it turns out, there were soldiers escorting him, but they had gotten just slightly, like, out of sight, so I hadn't seen them. So I free this guy, And then they just start, like, wailing at me. But yeah. The thing is, I'm a mage. So I got, you know, I have fire and sparks. I'm shooting them with flames and sparks, and that's how I kill things.
Burn them to death.
And I'm fighting these soldier guys, and the prisoner comes up and walks behind them, and I don't notice, and I accidentally catch him on fire. But the other guys are dead, and I'm just sitting there like, I can't put this guy out. He's on fire. So he just stands there on fire for 45 seconds, and then he just keels over.
Oh, man.
I'm a good guy.
Quest failed. Funny thing that happened to me, actually, was I was leaving one of the major cities, and then this guy ran up to me saying, here, take this thing. There's someone chasing me. Take this thing and run. And then a wolf comes and like just bites his face off. He's just dead. He, in like a second. So I have this thing, and then another guy like immediately runs up. He's almost exactly standing on top of the other guy's body. He's like, have you seen where this guy went? Have you seen where he went? He stole this thing from me. And he's standing on top of this guy's body pretty much. And it's ridiculous, but it's awesome at the same time. I love it. I love this world full of random glitchiness and people that just you can put a bucket over their head and they just won't care.
Let's talk about the Radiant Quest system and our experiences with that. Because I've had some cool experiences with it.
Yeah, well, I mean, my favorite thing about the quest system, this has been possible in the games before, but it seems like it's more common in Skyrim than in previous games, is like alternate quest completion.
Yeah, that's but the way that it's written into the, well, I'm on fire, why am I on fire? The way that it's written into the game, I'm playing Skyrim right now, the way that it's written into the game is cool, cause like there's a little bit of, you know, where it's a little wonky sometimes, but like the way they write it, like in one thing, I did a quest, and through this dungeon I ended up discovering something else, and it's just, this is item, just, it was just like, this is the thing that you found, and it says like nothing about it, and then I, go to do another quest, and a guy's like, yo, can you go find the Dragonstone for me? And my character says, do you mean this Dragonstone right here? But in my brain it was, do you mean this Dragonstone right here? And he, like, pulls it out from his coat, and then the guy's like, whoa! And the guy's a magician, and he was like, oh my god, how did you do that? That's awesome! And it was awesome that I made a magician, like, flip out. And there's little things like that happen, where their characters are like, oh, you met this guy? Can you go back to him and give this to him for me, please?
The missions are great. I barely touched the main story. Like, I've done a few of them. I basically killed the first dragon. That's as far as I got in the main story. I can now shout. I can just shout at people if I want. Be like,
wah! Oh, wait, that's another thing I had with it. Where, I'm playing on the PS3 and, the PS3's R2 button, L2 buttons are retarded. And, I was in an inn and, I sat down my controller and he shouted and like freaked everyone out. Everyone was like, what the hell was that? But they went right back to what they were doing. It was just like, oh, you're the dragonborn, whatever, I don't care.
Yeah,
and then I was like, oh, I'm sorry, but, and then like I went to bed and got up the next morning and walked out and there were four guys just waiting for me and there was also a mailman and the mailman gave me a letter. This is from your friend. This all happens at once where the mailman's giving this letter and I'm having a conversation with him and I'm getting hit while I'm having this conversation. And then I read the letter, and the letter's like, look, there are four guys who are going to kill you because you shouted an inn last night. And I wish it was a phone call. So you'd be like, I know. Yeah, I'm aware of that. but it was cool that, like, that one random thing that happened in an inn, that happened by accident, you know, ended up affecting this world and ended up making sense in this world.
I want to try this now, actually.
It was pretty cool. Yeah, go somewhere and just like, whoa. It's funny when he shouts because he sounds like an idiot. Before you unlock more words, the first word is like "blah."
I have a companion who follows me, and sometimes I just like I get frustrated with something, and all I do is I just turn around and shout at her, and like knocks her on the ground, and then she just gets back up and starts following me again. Like whatever,
is that
it's just another
is companion that the guy gives you when you become the thane of that town.
Yeah, Lydia, I think her name is.
Yeah,
have you come across any other companions?
No, I just made it after. My friend, though, did you guys meet the archery trainer in that same town?
Wait, it's not the same town. It's Riverwood, right?
Riverwood.
I think so. He's, like, around there. But my friend, he follows my friend. And he's training him while he follows him around.
Huh.
But not an actual friend of mine who owns the game.
This is another
companion in the game who has a companion.
Yeah. So, I mean, I found three different companions. One is Lydia, but the other two were really accidental. Because the first thing I did when I got out of the crazy opening sequence is I walk over to Riverwood. Then a guy's walking around and he's like, "Hey, can you deliver this note to this girl that's forged from this other dude?"
Oh, I have that quest too. I haven't done it yet.
And so, like, I completed it in the mean way to him, I guess. I went to her and
said, "The paper airplane," and threw it in his eye.
If only. You know, I went to the girl. I was like, "Hey, he forged this note." But then she's like, "Hey, you should go to him and, you know, you should go to my boyfriend and let him know that you did this for him." And then I walk over there tonight, I break in. The guy's okay with it, whatever. I just picked his lock, he's fine. And he's like, "Hey, do you want me to follow you around?" Like, sure, yeah. That's usually what I do when people break into my house in the middle of the night, is agree to follow them to my death.
They're like, "You've proven yourself. By breaking into my house, I'm gonna follow you."
Yeah, yep. You're pretty good at breaking into places.
So that's that guy. And later up in Winterhold, which the next thing I did for some reason is the guy in the shop said, "Hey, you know, if you're into magic, you should check out the College of Winterhold." So I thought, like, maybe that was what I was supposed to do next. So I walk for 2.5 hours across the map, and then I got there. There's some accomplishment to doing that, like.
Yeah, I like that too. I've done that.
Weren't you still like level 1 too?
Yes, I had not leveled up.
Yeah, this game doesn't control where you go. Like, it does vaguely through, you know, story beats and everything. But you can go anywhere. Like, you can just tool around. Like, you can start this game wherever you want.
Yeah, but I got pretty torn up by wolves and things because I was level 1. But I got there, and then I think it's there. You know what? It might be a different town. But in the tavern, there's this woman who's sitting around the corner. It's like, "I can beat you up." And it's like, "No, you can't. You can't beat me up. I'll just back up and shoot you with fire." She's like, "You want to take me on?" I said, "Sure." And then as soon as she starts fighting, it's like, "You know, you can't use any items or weapons or magic."
Oh,
like,
oh, the fist fight in the bar?
Yes.
Yeah, that fist fight was awesome.
I haven't done this.
Did you talk to her afterwards? She's a follower.
No, I figured she would want to follow me, but I didn't want any companions at the time. I've turned down all the companions that have tried to hang out.
I've never used companions for anything on purpose, but it's like, why not?
Yeah. I thought, but I do too much, like, shit. I do too much bad stuff at night. Like, the one companion, the Lydia, she was following me, and I broke into a dude's house, and I forgot she was with me, and she was like, "You're not supposed to be in here." And she didn't do anything to stop me. She was just like, "What are you doing? Why are you in this guy's house?"
She's just judging you.
Yeah, I was like, "You know what? You can hang out here. I'm going to leave." And I told her to stay, and I bought a horse, and I left. So I don't know if she's still there. I'm going to go back and see if she's still at the...
Well, if she's not still there, she'll probably just, like, reappear at the castle. Because, oh, yeah. "Hey, yeah, remember that thing remember when you left me behind? Okay, well, I'm going to follow you again anyway."
They do.
Well, I think the last thing I did was I finished all the stuff at the college. I finished the Mage's Guild stuff, which is... really cool, feel like magic, but I was never huge, I just kind of did it just to do it, because I always like to do all the different quest lines if I can. And it was kind of boring, but there's another quest line where you meet the basically the Warriors Guild. They're known as the Companions, and I don't know if any of you ran into them yet or started their quests.
No, I haven't.
I'm on their first quest right now. I haven't done anything for them yet.
Well, let's just say that I don't know if I should say it or not, but there's something really awesome with those guys that I didn't expect. It just happened so suddenly, and then all of a sudden, trust me, it's awesome. It's awesome.
Things happen,
and it's not what you expect. Because I thought it would just be like the Warriors Guild from Oblivion. It's just kind of standard, you know, warrior stuff. But, like, there's this point where this thing happens, and it's just crazy. Also, I got married in Skyrim last night.
Congratulations.
Congratulations.
Hey, thanks. Hey.
No, how far are you into this game?
I'm like 16 hours.
Oh, okay. I'm like 5 or 6 hours.
Yeah.
No, but it was completely, I went to this one, I think it's Riften is the place, and I went to the inn. I think it's the inn or a tavern or both. I don't know. But I went in there, and I was just talking to everyone, you know, kind of exploring the city, and then there was this one guy who was like this person who works at the Temple of Mara, which is kind of like this temple that worships true love and things like that, and he's just like, And I, you know, I just start selecting all the options and listening to his story and things. And then all of a sudden I ended up buying this amulet from him that you're supposed to wear if you want to get married. So I wore it and then I never took it off. So then like 3 hours later, I don't know, I just never took it off. I just like, whatever.
You went to a town and everybody had a big ring or a heart over their head.
No, actually, you know, I went back to Riverwood. I forgot why, but I went back to Riverwood. I think cause the guy there that sells weapons, he had something I wanted. And so I ended up going back there talking to him, and then I was like, and then I went to the trader place, and there's this woman there who always flirts with you if you go in there. I don't know if anybody's ever been in there.
Camille?
Yeah, her. So, yeah.
Oh,
so
I know Camille, yeah.
So I, you know, normally when you talk to people, they don't have anything really to say, they just kind of say one thing to you, and you can't actually initiate a conversation. So I talked to her, and she actually initiated the conversation, and I was like, and she's like, oh, so do you want to marry me? I'm like, sure. And then I got married. And like we she said one thing to me before, like when I first got there. She was like, well, you're good looking, aren't you? Or something like that. Like some flirty thing she said, and then I was like, okay,
wait,
cool.
Wait.
And yeah.
She's not the one who's like dating the two guys at once, is she?
Yes, she is.
She is.
Slut.
Okay.
All she ever said to me was flirty. I never actually could initiate a conversation with her.
Don't go to that archer, man. Don't do it.
Okay. Well,
yeah.
Married
his lady.
I just married. Well, the great thing is.
And like, also that other guy's lady. You got a problem.
Yeah. Don't hang out with either of those guys.
The other guy's barred for that town.
All right. I'm going to just avoid that town from now on. How about that? No, but yeah, so. I bought a house also just because I had the money for it, and then I went there, and she just sits there waiting for me, like not doing anything. She just kind of walks
underground
around.
Forest, you guys.
What's that?
I just found an underground forest.
That's weird.
That's where I am right now. There's trees underground.
Huh.
That's why I just want to bring that up because it's pretty cool.
Speech.
No, but it's really funny that getting married pretty much has no benefits because you just go. Yes, and in Skyrim, it's very, it reflects, no, I'm just kidding. No, but seriously, in the game, there's absolutely no benefits, unless you just want someone to cook for you, because that is all they will do. It's like, hi, how was your day? And then your options are goodbye and cook something.
Yeah, that's awesome.
You know, yeah. So,
I wonder if you're a female character and you marry, if the guy just does that. He just sits around cooking for you.
I don't know. I mean, I haven't investigated, but I don't know if there's same-sex marriage or not, or anything. Maybe you marry a guy, or maybe you could marry her also. I don't know. Maybe look into.
Does she leave if you hit her?
You know what? I should try it.
You guys, I just found a like a femur, and I could search it because it's part of a skeleton. It's just a femur, and it had a giant bow on it and a bunch of arrows.
Speaking of searching people, whenever I always search the bodies and loot them for pretty much gold or whatever or potions.
Yeah, it's pretty much always gold because you fill up your, you get encumbered pretty quickly in this game.
I've actually been very careful about that. But
I've been trying to be careful, but I'm not as good at being careful as everyone else.
So, yeah, no, I usually pick up gold, and the one other thing I always try to pick up is wine.
Yeah,
wine is pretty light and fairly valuable, so it's just like I'm going to take all of that.
And arrows.
Did anyone else notice that, like, you can steal a lot of things, but food basically isn't ever stealing? I don't know if you noticed that, like, when every other object in the room would be stealing, it's just like, take food.
Oh, it depends. It depends what room you're in. It does change. Like, steal in certain inns and stuff, like where they sell it. But if you're in someone's house and they're having you over, they'll usually just let you eat it. You know, cause, like, you're a traveler. And
yeah, I just liked it because I'd go into like the college Winterhold. If you go up some of those like sleeping quarters, you go in there. There's like enormous spread, and you can just take all of it.
Yeah.
Just like take all this.
Wait until night.
I've kind of taken have a bad habit of sometimes hitting the button to take everything. I don't know. Why. I just sometimes I do that, and I'm lucky I haven't been over encumbered yet with all the random crap I grab that I don't need. But like there was this one guy. I think he was a mage of some kind, and I killed him, and I grabbed everything, and I was like, oh, I saw something weird there that I never noticed. Like, I saw a glimpse of it before I grabbed it. So I looked at my inventory, and I suddenly have a human heart in my inventory.
Like, yeah, oh. I saw one of those too, and I was like, what are you going to do with this?
I guess I can go sell it. I don't know. I don't know what the purpose of it is, but I have a human heart in my pocket right now.
Include stuff like that do nothing. Like, I'm sure it includes some. I'm sure it's like one kind of enchantment uses it or something.
I wonder if you can cook with it. I should ask my wife in Skyrim to cook with the human heart.
The most dangerous game.
It's pretty gamey.
So have you guys done anything besides just wandering around? Have you done any of the other guild quests or anything like that?
Are we counting the Greybeard guys? Because I've been hanging out with them. I'm doing a quest for them right now, actually.
Mm-hmm.
The guys how to be a dragon mouth. And,
how to train your dragon mouth.
Yeah, how to train your dragon. Yeah.
Have you guys decided if you're gonna do Imperials or Stormcloaks?
I don't think I'm gonna do either. I think I'm gonna go Spartan.
I have to do one.
I don't think I'm gonna be a Spartan.
I haven't decided yet, but that situation was that I was talking about earlier was a Stormcloak prisoner and Imperial guards. So I thought once I did that and the Imperial guards started attacking me that I guess I was Stormcloak at that point, but then I killed the Stormcloak too. So I don't really know if that means anything.
What are the benefits to joining either? I haven't been able to discern that yet.
I haven't joined either, but I think it just changes like what I think the storyline for the quest line for that is you take over different fortresses and basically you just either fight Stormcloaks or Imperials. And I think depending on the major cities you go to, if like for example if you are a Stormcloak, I think people will just start treating you poorly.
I like hanging out and just being like, what do you need? You get gold?
I have to pick a quest line and I have to complete it. I'm OCD about these quest lines, so. I'm also gonna join the Dark Brotherhood, I think, soon. Cause nice. That's always awesome. And I have a human heart in my pocket, so I have to
go. Is there some kind of like elf brethren? Cause I'm a wood elf. I'd like to hang out with those guys.
No.
Is there like an elf town or anything? I've only seen Nords so far.
I haven't discovered.
What is the problem with Nords?
I don't care. The whole game, yeah. I just want to. The whole damn. There could be like a town though. There could be like a town of immigrants, like a little crappy shanty town where they make all the elves live. The elves who like work at CVS, they just live in this little crappy shanty town.
Is it called Keeper?
CVS in Skyrim.
Oh, I just found another dragon mouth. Words. Word of power.
Well, I haven't discovered any elf towns yet, but I'm sure there's at least one around there somewhere.
I hope so. I want to hang out.
I do remember there being like a segment of a town that was like a dark elf.
Like a slum?
Place. Yeah, like a slum. Yeah. That was like...
I have my brothers.
I do know, Matt, that you could probably join the Thieves Guild no problem, because you have that bucket with you. Probably.
They're like, prove to us your worth, and I put a bucket on everyone in the room. And it takes like an hour and a half, but then I take all the buckets off, I'm like, ta-da, and all the stuff's gone. And I'm really heavy. And I'm just like walking, and my clothes are just really full. And they're like, where did it all go? And I'm like, I know, right?
Everyone's just in their underwear, they just never even realize it.
So what races did you guys choose?
I love when you loot someone, I love when you loot someone and they're in their underwear.
Yeah. But I'm a Red Guard.
Yeah, I'm a Breton.
I am an Imperial.
Oh. So
I think you're
going to join the Imperials then.
I don't know. I'm thinking about it. But I might throw caution to the wind and be the first Imperial to join the Stormcloaks.
That would be interesting. I wonder if that would have any kind of implication. Because I know when you talk with certain people, depending on your race, they will address you differently. And I know there are people who absolutely hate Red Guards. That I've talked to, and they just don't want to talk to me at all. And then of course there are other people that like love Red Guards, and they give me stuff for being a Red Guard.
That's awesome.
So it's really cool to see the different just the little tiny things like that. Like you're just a different race, and there are people that will say certain lines differently depending on what race you are. Dragons are awesome.
Yeah, that's cool. I want to see more of that. Speaking of killing dragons. Yes. That's another easy way to get over encumbrance. You can take like all their bones and stuff and sell them.
Yeah. But the bones are good money.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I heard from someone that there's like like, the best or second best armor in the game you can only get by creating it out of dragon bones.
Really?
And I heard this right after I sold my dragon bones.
That's so cool.
I mean, I heard you need, like, to kill, like, 4 dragons worth to do it, but, yeah.
I've killed 3 dragons.
Congratulations.
The dragon's boneless. I can't do all that picking them off.
Yeah.
Thank you, Chris. Do you need dragon meat? I didn't check. Can you eat dragon?
Do you think so. I mean,
just get bones.
Yeah, they basically burn themselves up, don't they?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, they turn into, like, a pile of ash.
Yeah. And then you just get a dragon soul.
So do magicians. If you kill a magician, he just turns to a pile of ash. I think it's funny. You always hit him like in the face with an arrow, and he just goes.
Have you guys? I fought robots.
What?
I haven't done that yet. I saw that in the trailer.
Robot spiders and like robot minion guys, and they're in these dwarven place. You'll do the quest for the mage's guild in the college. There's this one quest where you have to go. Get this thing, and it's like in a dwarven cavern, and you fight robot spiders.
Yeah, this game, again, oh, motorcycles in it, like, wow. This is eventually going to degrade to, like, having like, motorcycles and,
no, that's
like, telescope. And wow, has motorcycles in it.
Why not?
Why?
Well, it's about to have pandas, so why not motorcycles?
Dude, why are giants such dicks? They're not big, friendly giants.
Well, I just leave them alone. Whenever I see a giant, they just kind of stare at me, and I just walk away.
No, they chase me. I'll show up my horse, and they're like, I'm just trying to get across this mountain.
They don't chase me. I saw a giant fighting a mammoth, and then a dragon showed up and just killed both of them. I was just kind of like, passed by, and the dragon never even noticed me. I was like, okay, we'll see you.
Did you, Steph Gerstmann's story about the first dragon that he fought?
Oh yeah, didn't he say like his horse was fighting the dragon?
Or there's just another horse. He just watched the horse fight a dragon for a while.
Yeah.
The only giant I've seen was killed by some companions, and I ran away from it because I didn't want to get stomped on or killed. And
was that at that one town? Because I helped them kill it, and they were like, "Hey, you're good at fighting giants. You want to come help us?" And then they gave me a bunch of stuff.
I ran away from it and chased chickens instead. Which is a good idea, because the guards will kill you if you attack a chicken there.
You're the worst adventurer.
Yeah, I know. I ran back afterwards to try to loot the body, and they're like, why didn't you help us with the giant? I'm like, running away was a better idea.
Not my problem.
And they're like,
you also, like, see a butterfly, and you just, like, chase after it. They're like, on some important mission, and all of a sudden a butterfly passes by, and you just, like, just turn around and just chase after it.
But when you do, you're into a river.
Yeah, when you catch a butterfly, your inventory, you get 2 butterfly wings.
Yeah, so basically you kill the butterfly.
You murder a butterfly.
You just rip the wings off, and you just leave it alone.
And you put them in your soup, or whatever.
along with your human heart.
Oh, I just shouted by accident again. I'm gonna get fucked up if we're in a cave. Bruh.
So basically, Skyrim is awesome. I think we can all agree.
All the shouts should be dragon swears. I want to learn that, like, these are all just...
That would be amazing.
Or you're just like...
Okay, then.
God damn it.
I feel left out of the conversation.
Or
fight Skyrim.
Yeah, just get Skyrim.
Hey, I mean, we have Skyrim, you have Canvas Cruise, it's okay. We each have our own games.
Kirby turns into a boat. He rides around Jamaica. and Mickey Mouse has breakfast with you.
Kirby's Epic Cruise.
Yeah. Kirby's Booze Cruise. I feel like we're gonna be revisiting Skyrim in at least one other episode. Because
that's absolutely the case.
None of us are that far into the game.
At the same time, next week there are at least 60 games coming out worth talking about.
Yeah, it sounds like we're wrapping things up. But
on Tuesday there are 10 games coming out.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, but like, let's go through what we're. I mean, Super Mario 3D Land came out on Sunday when we're recording this, so we'll have to talk about that next week. There's Assassin's Creed. Halo Anniversary, Rayman Origins,
Marvel the Third
3,
yeah,
Saints Row the Third, Ultimate Marvel's Capcom 3,
Need for Speed.
Speed the Run. Mario and Sonic at the London Olympic Games.
Oh, that's the game of the week right there.
Hey,
the
you London don't even game. Know. Hey, that's... now, let me say something quickly about that. The Winter Games version? Like, the original one was stupid. It had a lot of waggle, you know.
It sure did.
The Winter Games had a lot of things that were really fun to play with, like, three people locally. Like playing hockey or playing bobsled or whatever it was. I mean, it had a lot of charm to it.
And yeah, there are a lot of good minigame collections, and they always get a bad rap. Like, a lot of the rabbit games are really good.
What I was going to say about Mario and Sonic is the second one isn't really like a minigame collection. It's smaller games, but they're not like, I mean, it's not like Mario Party. It's like more fleshed out things. I don't know. It was a nice change of pace. But that said.
So you're the one person anticipating the new one.
I'm the one person.
It's okay.
But yeah.
Also, Zelda on Sunday.
Yes, yeah. Zelda comes out next Sunday.
I'm probably gonna have to buy a Wii next week.
Get Kirby. Well,
unless Snackbar Games would like to provide me with one to write about a Wii. It's only $150 now.
Oh, that's a good one. You're hilarious. Nintendo.
Jokes are fun.
Yeah, man. All right.
So yeah, a lot of games coming out next week that we'll be talking about, and probably also Skyrim.
And probably also Skyrim.
We could just keep talking about Skyrim. Do you guys just want to stop buying video games and just play Skyrim?
Just play Skyrim.
Ooh. I might do that. I might just play Skyrim from now on.
It's tempting.
From now on. Oh, I have the other day. So yesterday I was over at my friend's house, and a bunch of us got together to play a board game. Like a really nerdy, like role-playing board game. And, so of course all of us had bought Skyrim.
Say that again.
No, it was, I actually can't remember what it was called. Oh, it was called Mansions of Madness.
Ah, yes.
It's a really cool game. Yeah. And, so of course we all had Skyrim. We were talking about Skyrim. And, it led to us talking about all the other Bethesda games and stuff and fun things we would do. And, one thing about, one of our friends was telling us about was, in one of the Fable games, which we mentioned earlier, he wanted to buy this house and couldn't afford it. So he found this flute, and everybody loved when he played the flute. And, like, little kids would, like, dance around him and follow him around the town. So he would lead them into the basement and murder them, and it dropped the price of the house. He had to kill, like, 30 kids in the basement of this house before he could afford it. And it worked, and he bought the house and, like, kept a bunch of stuff in it. And people would, like, tell stories about the house in the town. Like, yeah, this house while those kids got murdered. And then so maybe, this, like, Fable 3.
So this is why Fable 3 is better than Skyrim.
Yep, that's exactly why. I mean, I haven't done that in Skyrim yet.
Oh.
If I can, I'll be very excited.
There
are kids in this game.
There's a visceral reaction of disgust.
And
Fable 3 was abysmal. I wanted it to be
Fable
good.
Fable 3 was not a good game at all. Yeah, although I didn't like Fable 2 either, so I don't know.
Fable 2 was okay. I mean...
It was okay, yes. It was
Fable.
Okay.
Everything that's good about Fable 3 was in Fable 2. And everything that wasn't in Fable 2 was bad.
Yeah, I still think played the first Fable.
I was going to say, based on my experience with all three games, even though the first one isn't that great of a game, I still think it's the best one.
Yeah.
That's fair enough. Alright, well, let's call it an episode. Alright, for Matt, Jerry, Sean, and Andrew, I'm Graham. See you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Snack Bar Games Podcast. Follow us on the web at snackbar-games.com or on Twitter @snackbargames.